Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Two.
So how do you want to start? We're here on the banks of the Arden. My name is John Bevan. I'm the head gardener here in Lissalan Gardens in West Cork.
So, John, how long are you working here?
I started here basically in late 1999. The owners were looking for a new gardener because the gardener at the time wanted to retire. So I suppose I have about 17 years here. It's been a struggle. There's been a lot to do, but I must say as well, it's been a pleasure, you know, to work in somewhere so beautiful with such a great variety of plants. I've always been interested in trees and shrubs and probably rare plants. I suppose I came from a different background. I was working in the parks department in Dublin, and this was an opportunity to get home really, because I'm originally from West Cork.
Whereabouts in Dublin were you working?
I was working for the parks department. I was working in Belcamp Park and I can't think of the other place, the name now. Belcamp Park. Basically the parks on the northern side of the city. So it was basically a different job completely to what this is. You know, it was basically parkland which provided facilities for, you know, football pitches and golf courses and that kind of thing. So.
And what's the history to Lissalan House for those who aren't aware?
Lissalan House dates back to the 1800s. It was originally built by a man called William Bince Jones. Between 1851 and 1853, he built the house here. Prior to that, he was living locally, but I believe he wanted to stay in Ireland. You know, he was originally an absentee landlord. But he built the house, and the gardens were laid out by his family, we'll say, from the late 1800s to the early 1900s. Unfortunately, there's no record, so we're not sure of that. Yeah. The property then passed to a man called C.O. Stanley in 1929. Dates can be checked. And the Stanley family owned the property until the 1990s when the current owners took over. It is presently owned by a holding company called Lissalan Holdings.
So what's the current status of the gardens and the house as it stands?
I suppose the main thing to say is that the current owners were the first owners to open it to the public. Prior to that, it was a private garden. So great credit is due to the current owners because they opened up the place to the public in 1990. And I believe a lot of people, that local people, admitted like they had never been inside the grounds here, you know. So at the moment, the place is for sale because the family have moved on and they're hoping they'll get a buyer. It would be great to see it continue as is, like, you know, but time will tell. Regarding to the plants, I suppose the garden itself can be described as a Robinsonian style garden, which basically means a mixture of native and exotic plants growing in a natural environment without much interference, you know, which I suppose is great for me because it lets me off with a lot of hard work because you don't have to do all the weeding. Basically what we have here is a selection of trees and shrubs which flowers, I'd say we'd have flowers here from say early February right through until first frost. So on the start of the year you would have things like camellias, rhododendrons, then you go into roses, herbaceous borders in the summertime. And then back in 2000 the family asked me could I extend the flowering season in the gardens, and I was always interested in the genus fuchsia. So I wanted to establish a fuchsia garden here in Lissalan. This was a great love of mine, and I've kind of researched it. Everyone thought I was mad because I said the plants wouldn't survive. But they have. At present, there's about 105 species of fuchsia that are known. These are mainly grown indoors in Holland and, you know, Western Europe. They're mostly in glass houses. So everyone thought I was nuts to try and, you know, grow fuchsia species outdoors but then again, like, we have the beautiful climate of West Cork, we have the Gulf Stream, and we very, very seldom get, you know, okay, we get cold winters, but the killer for the fuchsia would be a kind of a mixture of cold and wet. And I've started with about 5 or 6 species, well, and currently I have about 30 species growing outdoors in the fuchsia garden, which is part of the old enclosed garden here at Lissalan.
You also have a golf course as part of the grounds.
That's the part of the golf course is part of the grounds, but thanks be to God, I don't have anything to do with that because I don't think I could manage. I think it's a par 72 nine-hole course. I don't know a whole lot more about it, really. That's not my field, I might as well admit.
You've also got, what did I pass on the way, the tree that holds the record for the largest girth.
Yeah, we also have some, we have two species of tree here which hold the greatest girth. These were recognised by the Irish Tree Council in the mid-90s, I think, they visited the gardens. The first is a Pinus radiata, Monterey pine, which is growing on the main avenue as you approach the house. This is the biggest girth specimen in Ireland. And also in the lower part of the gardens, across the River Argadine, we have Anissa sylvatica, which is the black tupelo. Unfortunately, this fell in a storm in late 97, and it's still there. I was going to cut it up, but I didn't. But fair enough, like the council still recognises it as a procumbent specimen because the branches are still, this branch is still coming out of the trunk.
So let's go backtrack on you, because there's two things that kind of strike me when I was getting into, and I did my first garden at about 9 years of age, and there's the sideshow bingo of Peter growing plants under his bed, and probably to the point that I ended up with quite an extensive geranium collection because I figured out that I could grow them in cuttings without having to spend my pocket money on rooting powder. I could do it in a saucer of water. You took not only the fuchsia thing, but as you said it, the rarer style of plants. How did that all come about? Is there a reason behind that?
Well, I suppose there is, really. I suppose I grew up in a place called Lingariff in West Cork, and offshore there's a famous Garnish Island. This was my back garden, and I used to, as a young youth, I used to spend a lot of my summer days over there looking at plants and the names of plants, and I'd write them all down, and then I'd come home and I had a book at home and I'd look up all the names, and I was just fascinated by the fact that there were Southern Hemisphere's plants growing in my back garden, literally, you know. I won't say literally in my back garden, but like Garnish Island is just a 20-minute spin in a boat off Glengariff. So I spent most of my summers out there looking up plants and names, and then I just chose horticulture as my career, like, you know. And I studied in the National Botanic Gardens for 2 years.
So is that what brought you to Dublin then?
Yeah, that's basically what brought me to Dublin, but I suppose I went through a different route. I got an apprenticeship under the Parks Department of Dublin Corporation, which was then the Parks Department of Dublin Corporation, and that was a 4-year apprenticeship, 2 years of which were spent in the Botanic Gardens in Dublin. So I've, you know, qualifications in amenity horticulture as opposed to commercial horticulture.
Which is the qualification that I have.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So I'd be more into, I wouldn't be into creating, growing things, you know, for sale and stuff, but I just love the rarity of things and, you know, the way, I suppose, you know, things from, as we said, from the Southern Hemisphere will grow in the Northern Hemisphere and vice versa, like, you know.
And let me just stick with this for a little bit. The writing down of the names when you saw them on the island and then going back and checking them in the book, what age were you at that stage?
Oh, well, I'd say 12 and 15.
I won't ask what age you are, but you seem to be slightly older than me, just by a little bit, by a margin. Even though you got that Bruce Springsteen look about you, which means that you never actually age at all. You just look cooler and cooler and cooler. Yeah, well, don't push it too much now. But like when I was growing up and I had that copybook, I had that hardback notebook, and I kept a record of plants, and I didn't have the money to buy magazines. So when the magazines were handed down to me, I'd cut the photographs out and I'd note things and had like a little bit of a scrapbook diary of what I was doing, but it wasn't a something that you might say I showed off to my mates, because they were more into football stickers and pretended that they liked girls, you know, but we were secretly just Arsenal fans, if that makes any sense to you. Was it a little bit that when you were kind of growing up?
Well, I suppose there wasn't much else to do. Like, I was into football. I used to play in the local GA team as a youngster, like, but I wasn't really, you know, football crazy. I was into cycling as well. I was into girls as well. I used to go to discos and what have you. Like, it wasn't all books and looking up plants, but the plants fascinated me, you know, the way things grow and the natural environment, you know, what's around us. I think nowadays kids don't actually stop and see what's around them, you know. I was, you know, very taken back by nature, and I suppose, you know, the element of God in it or whatever, I don't know, but, you know, from a spiritual point of view as well, I found it very peaceful and, you know, being out in nature and with plants and stuff. I suppose the other thing, I suppose they wouldn't fight back or they wouldn't talk back to you either.
How big is Lislan House?
The gardens is 38 hectares. I think it's basically a gardens, the golf course and the wood and the woodland. Well, the golf pause. I'd say no, wait a minute. No, the golf course is separate. So like we'll say the house and the gardens, I think it's 38 hectares. That's in the leaflet, and you can find it up in the leaflet. Maybe they figured it right. I think it's 38 hectares. Well, that'd be 45 acres, right?
Well, you're 2.25 acres to the hectare, so 38 should be about close enough to 100.
100 acres?
About 90, off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe hectares, you can... I think it's overall 45 acres. I'm always mixing up the figures, the 45 acres and the 38 hectares, so we can...
We'll compromise. We'll call it 50 acres for the minute. And how many staff are looking after this at this moment in time?
At the moment, it's myself and one other, Kieran. You know, there's only two of us here trying to look after all this, which is, you know, it's difficult, you know, but as I said, it's a Robinsonian-style garden, so I suppose we have to get away with lots of things, you know.
is there a case of, and to your credit, the place does Robinsonian-style, as you would call it, but it doesn't, nothing seems out of place, and in a lot of, how would I phrase this, certain gardens, if they're left for a couple of weeks in the right climate, they would look extremely neglected. This place doesn't look that. So it is a real credit to you. Is it also a case of modern necessity where people don't have 18 or 19 or 10, 12 gardeners full time anymore? Is there an element of that about it?
Well, yes, I'd say so. Like, but excuse me. Basically, horticulture this time of year for me is repetition. If you don't look after the grass and if you don't look after the borders, you know, they will go out of hand within the space of 10 to 14 days. So if you keep the grass, I must admit, Kieran is great at that. Like, you know, if you have a little routine where you kind of go back and try and get to things every 7 to 10 days, you will get there, like, you know. Mm. Things like hedges, you know, you can leave until, you know, maybe later in the year, like, you know. So I basically do the hedges twice a year, and the beech hedges are only cut once a year. So you can compromise in one sense. And I suppose then... You know, for weeding of paths and stuff, you know, we have to resort to chemicals. No, I'm not for using chemicals in the gardens because I think it affects the other things, especially insecticides, and, you know, it affects bees and other life, like, you know. So I would say, you know, you kind of have to compromise, you know, certain things aren't going to get done, but you have to accept that, you know. But I basically feel that the area around the house should get priority all the time, you know.
What does the future hold for yourself and, I guess, Lislan? Two separate questions maybe in there.
Well, I suppose sometimes when you start off in life, you say you're going to be at this until the day you retire. I won't say die, but retire. I would hope to be here for the next, you know, maybe 10 years, whatever. Like, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. As I said, the whole place is for sale. So... I don't know. I don't know what's the future for Lislan. We just hope whoever buys the place, you know, sees the beauty of the place and, you know, maybe continue and hopefully develop it further. And maybe give us an extra few staff.
And a new tractor. And a new ride-on lawnmower. I'm joking. The visitor response, and to me, when I come past it, come down the main avenue towards the house and then come around the side and down the steps, and it's like an Aladdin's cave. It's literally into the back of the wardrobe and out the far side. There's something quite majestic in it. How do you phrase it? It's like a feeling. It's back to that. It's like falling in love. It's hearing Eric Clapton for the first time playing guitar, or George Harrison. It either tingles the back of your neck or it kind of doesn't, and you can reshape the grounds and redesign them any which way you want, but you either get that kind of feel or you kind of don't. Do you get that? Because you strike me as a quite a happy fellow. It's like as if you've got little people dancing in your head saying, let's do the happy jig, come on, we're awake, we're going to work. Am I far off of that? Are you just one of them?
No, I'd say you're right. I don't know. I think a garden has to have an element of surprise. Like, and I suppose around every, you know, you walk around the paths and around every corner, you see something new, and that takes your fancy. And then you'll kind of look at that, and you'll turn around, and you'll walk across the river, and you'll see something else. You know, it has to have an element of surprise. Like, but I suppose nature itself, like, is the great surprise here. You're in such a beautiful place. It's so quiet and peaceful. You know, you're away from the hustle and bustle. So why wouldn't you be happy in it?
Do you look forward to going to work?
I'd say I do, yeah. I suppose this has always been my life, you know, gardening and plants and, you know, growing things, you know. I sometimes grow my own bedding, you know. One year there I grew fuchsia, hanging fuchsias from seed, like, you know. It's just the fact of being able to put seeds into a compost and grow them, and then you have a plant and then you have flowers. And the same with food, like, you know. I grow my own tomatoes, you know. I think it's just so pleasurable, you know.
I used to grow, my first hyacinth bulb, such a bingo again, was the hyacinth. And I remember, I think it was five or six, and I put it downstairs in the hot press at the time, where the boiler was, for those of you not from the 80s, and wrapped it in a plastic bag and put elastic band around it, so it would kind of force it a little bit better. And I remember coming down, waking up in the middle of the night, like the day I'd planted it, to see if it had grown, which in hindsight, with horticultural qualification, you'd understand this, is it's ridiculous unless it's not even watercress would achieve that. Do you get that little thing that you used to do as a kid? Are there elements of that still resonate with you today as a grown-up, as a man who's able to vote, who's, you know, holds a driving license? Do you still do those kiddie things that make you giggle, make you smile, make you kind of get excited?
I don't know. I the way I'd answer that, I said, as a kid in all of us, you know. We grew up, I'd say, what I could say is the things that I've done as a child and things that I learned from my father, I'm still doing today, you know. So, you know, okay, maybe putting the hyacinth into the plastic bag. I actually tried an experiment with that. Someone said to me as well that if you've got a you know, kind of a carafe, you know, the old kind of carafe of wine with a wide neck, and put the bulb on top of that, it'll still flower, because it'll send the shoots, the roots down into the water. Yeah. You don't need a soil, it'll still flower. And I've done that just for the crack, and it was good.
I did that this year, and I put the skewers for making kebabs. I ran them through it, so I held them suspended above, and it dropped down through it. I used the store of food, absolutely phenomenal. And I have a 6-year-old, and I'm kind of looking at her going, is she excited as me? I don't know. When your mom and dad, were they proud of the fact that you did what you did as a kid, and then went and did that in college, and then qualified, and then ended up with the job to where you are? Were they proud of the fact that, of, I guess, what you have achieved, but more so that it was what you did as a kid, what that interest that you continued with? A lot of people don't get to do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'd say they are, like, I'm hoping they are, like, tense, honestly. I would say so, like, because I started off doing this as a young fella, and I qualified for it, and then I went away, and I've done different jobs, but they've all been attached to horticulture and to gardening, you know. So, I don't know, I would hope so. My dad, I'd say I learned a lot from my dad. My dad passed on in 2006, but, you know, I used to spend a lot of time with him. He used to grow all his own vegetables, and, you know, you'd spend hours and hours weeding and that kind of thing. And, like, most kids wouldn't even think of doing that today. But I actually used to get a great satisfaction from looking at a ridge of onions and at a weed in them, you know. I used to get a great buzz from that, you know. Okay, people today might get a buzz from playing Pokemon, but that, so be it.
I can hear gardeners all across the planet saying he gets a buzz out of weed free. Are you down? It must be by hand. Are you joking? Well, you've slightly different.
No, but I'm talking about, when, you know, as a 14 year old, you know, to weed and to have it looking, having things looking well and tidy. Present, it means so much. Like, yeah, it's a great, it gives you a great sense of achievement as well, you know. So I don't know. I suppose as we grow older, we look back on all the things we've done, and, you know, they've taught us a lot. You know, maybe a lot of kids today wouldn't want to do the weeding, you know, but I think it also gives you a sense of calmness, and, you know, I don't know. Life is strange.
Listen, you're talking to, I was one of those, my mom's favourite cliche for me was probably, can you not sit still for kind of 2 minutes? And the answer was probably no, but at the same token, presentation, weed-free presentation has to be perfection, otherwise there's just no point in doing it. I think you either get that or you kind of don't. But then you've kind of got the Robinsonian style of garden, so that's kind of like a opposite magnetic fields again.
Well, I suppose that's the thing here. Like, I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, you can only do so much, you know. I can't go around here and weed everything every day. It would be impossible. And the Robinsonian thing is nice. I suppose as we grow older, maybe we're not as fussy. I know I'm not as fussy now as I was maybe when I was, a 21-year-old reading or whatever, like, you know. But I don't know. I think as we grow older, I think we kind of become more relaxed and kind of more accepting of things. And I suppose at the end of the day, I suppose the lesson I've learned is it is impossible to tame nature. You know, they're going to win. It's going to win one way or the other. You know.
If I gave you a magic wand in the morning, and I said you can do whatever you want right here, right now, what would it be?
I don't know. I'd say the list would be too big. The wand would break.
Oh God, jeepers! What can I say? It's uncertain what the future holds. There's only one thing I can say: Lisalan House is absolutely magic. The gardens are spectacular. There's a certain something here that I just can't put my finger on. You above all things, I've got to come here and see it, irrespective of. Never mind the future. That's going to be what it's going to be. And never mind the past. That's going to be what it's going to be. But come down the steps and come over the wee little bridge and come down to the wee little hut where we are and just sit here. Bring a flask of coffee. Bring somebody who you get on well with, who doesn't say a whole lot, which definitely rules me out. And while away the hours. And I guarantee you'll thank me for it. What can I say? Thank you so much for your time. That's been a real treat.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
And that was the very wonderful John Bevan from Lisalan House and Gardens, based in Clonakilty in West Cork. A garden and estate that I would higher than highly recommend you do go and see. My thanks, while I'm also added to Bev and Miriam of West Cork Garden Trail and that beautiful little community which they have cultivated to Bantry House, former guests of the show, David and Mary Tanner, who've also been on Serge de Thibault. I mean, these are just wonderful, absolutely wonderful stories, and it's not until you, I guess, have somebody like Melinda Miservi from Time and Place in Salt Lake City who will turn around and go, hey, Pete, I heard that one and I loved it. And the odd time you do something and you make something and you put it out there and you scratch your head and wonder, did it make an impression? And then 4, 5, 6 months later, you hear that back. Well, in the making department, let me go to something a little bit different, because some of you listen to the show and you tend to leave a comment back on Twitter. You say, Peter, I enjoyed that. It was a good show. You did well there. It was, I applaud you from afar, virtually in the internet sense of the word. Some of you will leave a rate and review in iTunes. In the case of Max Marshall, who is a young musician based in Nashville, he's probably the only listener of the Sod Show from Nashville, I should add, but at the same token, a listener nonetheless, and I will happily take them. Max has written a song, and you're wondering, I can hear you ask, what is its relationship to the Sod Show? Well, apparently, and according to him, his family and friends are big fans of the Sod Show, and I quote that. And not only that, Max further went and recorded a song called Horticulture. He says, I hope all is well. Your show is a talisman for my parents and sisters' listening routine, and soon enough, I think it might be part of mine too. The song in question is called Horticulture. I hope you enjoy it. Still growing. Yours sincerely, Max Marshall. Well, Max, this is your debut on the show, and it is what I'm going to play the listeners out with today. At Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow, and sodshow.com. We'll talk to you next week. Take care. Have a great weekend and the great outdoors. Bye for now.
Mine be like white morning glory. Hours to rain second. guess in the rain, she never did come, never did fall for me. To become a gardener, two springs ago, on some land I just bought, I never thought she would cultivate and teach with the roots and the shoots and the leaves. Love is simple, horticulture. Love is simple, horticulture. Give a whistle. Hold the thistles with care. True, I'll worry more in December for sure. Deciduous love, place my sheets o'er her bed. Fearing winter's lust. That old rye Jack Frost called his ice. Daylight is late in descending, I'll wait. Backyard July, sort of cloaked, I will lie out like a wren in her bed, in her hymn. Love is simple. Culture. Love is simple. Horticulture. Give a whistle. Hold the thistles with care. Hold the thistles with care. I will wear and I'll tear. When the harvest is there for the drought, I'll get in our place sanctuary. Spring, I'll behold my garden, she grows. Untold miracles, worthy of fable, my garden tree knows. Love is simple, horticulture. Love is simple. Hold the thistles with care.